Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is your host, Stephanie Williams, aka Steph I Will, aka Misty Knight's Twist Out, which hopefully will remain that way, even though Simone Missick is going to be on Iron Fist Season 2, which I never knew there could be such a bittersweet thing to that magnitude, but here we are. So I'm back. This is actually the last episode before I take a very small podcast hiatus. Don't worry, I will be back. So it won't be that long, but just a small break to kind of regroup and try to grow as a podcaster. But first, I want to talk about San Diego Comic-Con. Although that was last weekend, I still want to talk about it, and hopefully I'll say something a little bit different than everybody else who's been covering it, but here I go. So Justice League, the movie. So apparently there's something called extended cut trailers, or that at least that's what I'm calling it, because the Justice League trailer was a total of, was it like three or four minutes? It was a really, really long trailer. I think it was 4 minutes because I remember sitting there a little irritated that it was that long. I mean, I'm looking forward to the movie, which I'm actually kind of surprised to say about a DC movie period, but because even with Wonder Woman, like, I wasn't even looking forward to it. It was just more so of a, I would like to see this because it's a superhero movie which is starring a woman, so here we are. But Justice League, trailer was 4 minutes long, damn near maybe the whole movie, I don't know, definitely got the premise, and yeah. So Jason Momoa looked amazing, so I'm here for Aqua Bay, as Victor and Nick say on Mega Sheen. So I'm here for Aqua Bay, I'm here for Jason Momoa. Yeah, so Justice League, we'll find out if it's, you know, worth your coins come, I believe, what is it, November? Because it comes out around the same time as Thor Ragnarok. Speaking of Thor Ragnarok, that's like the only thing from Marvel as far as trailers are concerned that we, the general audience that were not at San Diego Comic-Con, got to see. So, yeah. Yeah. It's the first Thor movie that I'm actually for real looking forward to. The first Thor, yeah, because it was the first Thor. The second one, I still want my refund back for that movie. But Tessa Thompson looked amazing. And, you know, Black woman in the MCU, like, I'm excited for that. Like, this phase three is going to be my favorite phase because Black women are really, really prominent in the MCU. And also speaking about Black Panther with Adora Milaje, Shuri, and Mama Ramada. So yeah, Stranger Things season 2, there was a trailer, and full disclosure, Stranger Things the first season, it took me a while to get through the first season, not necessarily because I didn't like it, I did like it, but it wasn't something that I was able to binge, and I feel like part of that was probably because of all of the hype surrounding it, kind of tempered down my need and urgency to kind of watch it, because everyone was like, this is like the best thing to air. So, but I did enjoy Stranger Things, and I'm happy that season 2 is happening, so I'm looking forward to it. The Defenders, we got another trailer, and Sigourney Weaver, I'm here for her as a villain in this show. Something about Iron Fist supposed to mature in the Defenders, so yeah, I got nothing. I'm gonna not be shady and just leave it alone, but okay. And like I mentioned when the show just started about Misty Knight getting more information about her. We're going to be getting more of her, but in Iron Fist season 2. So I watched Iron Fist season 1 for Patreon because the only way that I was going to watch that was to be paid for my time watching that show. I really had no intentions of watching season 2, to be quite honest, but here I am getting ready to watch season 2 because I would like to see more Simone Missick, because she was really, really great as Misty Knight. And I am here for her and Colleen Wing teaming up. I am praying that Colleen, really grabs hold and just keeps her man to herself, and Misty does not have to interact with Danny in that way in this show, because no, that's the only thing I do not want. I was here for it in the comics, but in the Netflix series, no, not at all. I can't even see it. So, just please, for the love of Jesus, don't. But anyway, I guess I'm watching Iron Fist season 2 because of that. So fuck them for that. But unfortunately, even though the showrunner, I know his name isn't Joe Buck, I've got NFL on my mind, but the showrunner from the first season of Iron Fist is no longer there. However, the showrunner from Sleepy Hollow is going to be the showrunner for Iron Fist season 2. And yeah, we all know how that ended. So it went from being bittersweetly happy to, oh, damn, we just can't have anything, can we? So I have no idea how it's going to go. Like I said, I will check out at least the very first episode of season two of Iron Fist for Misty Knight, or maybe I can wait for a supercut where somebody is kind enough to go through and piece together all her scenes. But I don't know. Let me pray on it now. And, you know, hopefully my soul will be moved in that direction, but I really can't guarantee anything. Young Justice character designs were revealed at SDCC, and I didn't see nor hide nor hair of Rocket or Bumblebee. So there's that. Aqualad looks like Gucci Mane. Somebody tweeted that out, and I can't unsee that. We do see Static Shock there. So, I mean, that's great. It's just that, you know, DC is going to have this show on their little streaming service. And I'm like, you know, so what's my incentive for paying for this? So I'm like, what's my incentive for paying for this? Because I don't see Bumblebee and I don't see Rocket. Does not mean that they won't be there, but I also didn't see them in this little reveal. So I'm not really opening my wallet with gusto right now. So I don't know. We'll see. But I just really need these companies to understand that, you know, optics do be mattering, but you know, I'll let y'all cook. So that was that for Justice League. I mean, I'm not Justice League, but Young Justice. And going back to Marvel, Captain Marvel got some concept art for that. Found out that the movie will be set in the 90s and will feature the Skrulls. Okay, cool. Also, I guess Captain Marvel will not be in Avengers Infinity War. I believe I read that somewhere. I could be wrong, but I was really trying to figure out how Captain Marvel was going to be set in the 90s. And then turn around, we're going to see her in Avengers Infinity War. The only thing I could think of was she got hold of the time stone and somehow ended up there. Or because that would make her about the same age as Tony Stark, if not a little older. And then Brie Larson has been cast. I don't know. You know, if Captain Marvel instead of Carol Danvers was actually Monica Rambeau, then I could just blame it on melanin, and that's why she hasn't aged a day. So I don't know, but apparently she's not going to be in Avengers Infinity War. So okay. Ant-Man and the Wasp also got some concept art and some little background on that, posters and all of that. You know, I was fine with the first Ant-Man, actually kind of enjoyed it, so I'm fine with Ant-Man and the Wasp. We did not get any more on Black Panther. We just got to see folks' reactions to the extra footage that they got to see, so I'm still tight about that. And I understand that they probably won't release that until maybe November-ish or so, but I want to see it now. Avengers Infinity War, the same trailer that they showed during D23 is the same trailer that they showed during SDCC. And again, I guess wigs were snatched because people were still losing their minds. You know what? I'm not going to dry snitch on myself, but yeah, I hope that they, you know, release that trailer soon so we can see, like, Thanos will finally be making his appearance, finally showing up like Debo. So I don't know, we see. I know for damn sure some folks better die in this movie, because how do you have Thanos show up and only one or two Avengers or whatever dies? Like, they're I hate to say this, but needs to be at least, you know, 5-6 body count. I mean, it does. And that will make room for, you know, more superheroes to come into the MCU and shine. So if that happens, I won't be too upset. But yes, we need a body count. Thanos is there. It's called Infinity War. So hope y'all figure that out. All right, so I guess that's it for San Diego Comic-Con. It felt a little underwhelming compared to last year to me. Not that that was necessarily a bad thing, but maybe it would have been overwhelming had we got the Black Panther extra footage and also Avengers Infinity War. But, you know, it is what it is. So moving on to comics, I really don't have much to talk about because, like, I've been reading comics, but really hasn't been a ton that I've been wanting to rant and rave about. I did finally receive my copy of Elements Fire, which is edited by Tanika Stotts. It's a collection of fire theme anthologies, which are focused on creators of color. So the stories kind of range from sci-fi to just magic. All of that is actually a really, 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 really gorgeous book. Like, it's really aesthetically pleasing to look at. So if you haven't already, that is something I highly encourage you to pick up. It's $25, but if you're on a budget, you can buy, if there are any left, damaged copies, which actually aren't all that damaged. So, and they're $12.50. So support creators of color. And this is actually worth your coin. It really is. I mean, the book is gorgeous. It's just so nice to look at. It really is. And the stories are really good too. So, that's something to keep in mind. Bank Shot by Alex DeCampa, something I just picked up. There's issues. I think there's two issues so far. So I think the main protagonist's name is Marcus King, and the gist of what I'm at right now is he a modern day Robin Hood or is he a terrorist? I don't know. But what I do know is that the action panels in this comic are really, really great. And I feel like lately that's just something I've really been paying attention to, definitely because of the rereads of Alien Defiance for Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, which we began recording season 2. It has really been paying attention to action panels and how fluid they are and how they look and how they move. Well, they don't move, but how they give the idea of movement. And this book definitely has it. So far, it's only 2 issues in, so it wouldn't take you very long to get caught up. So if you haven't already, check out Bank Shot. And I don't know if I've mentioned this already, and I'm probably sure I probably did, but the Bitch Planet triple featurettes issue 2 has been out since the last time I talked to you all, and I'm just bringing it up again because that issue, all 3 of those stories left me shook. Like, they're, again, I am a sucker for anthologies, and after reading issue 2, if Bitch Planet were to ever become a TV show, which it should, a TV show preferably over a film, just because I feel like there's more to explore in that world. But if they were ever to go that route, if they went the route of kind of like an anthology type of thing, and use these stories from the featurettes, it would be everything. Like, issue 2 kind of reminded me of something that you would see on Black Mirror. Like, that's how creepy a lot of these stories were, and the commentary behind them. So you don't have to be really necessarily familiar with the main storyline of Bitch Planet in order to enjoy these featurettes. But the reason why I bring them up is because, you know, they are showcasing creators of color, writers, and also artists. So if that's your thing, pick up these featurettes. So far, only 2 issues in. I think there are 5 total. Could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because I would love to read more, but as of right now there are only 2 issues. So yeah. Also, one more thing, in conjunction with Comixology, Marvel has, I guess, through Comixology Unlimited, Marvel is paired up with them, but the new Iron Fist series, I think it's only 6 issues, a short one, Immortal Iron Fist, features a little Asian girl. So I've read issue 1. I actually thought it was pretty good. So that's another thing for you to check out, especially if you have Comixology Unlimited already. You can borrow it, and it's not necessarily free, but you know, you could check that out. So I think that's it for comics. Oh yeah, so if you've seen the hashtag make my milkshake, it's because a editor at Marvel posted a selfie of herself getting milkshakes with some friends, and because the comic world is trash because of men, men were mad about that. So, you know, next time you get a milkshake, I guess get one and also have one to ask me about my feminist agenda shirt on as well, because I'm pretty sure you'll probably explode the head of some dude bro out there. So for real, I think that's it for comics. And to just move on real quick to TV and movie news, I'm going to talk about The Confederate, but not in depth, because I'm pretty sure it's been talked about to death and it's actually been new news. So it's actually good that I recorded this episode kind of late. So if you're not familiar, The Confederate is a show that is currently in the works at HBO. It's going to be brought to you by David Benioff and David D.B. Weiss, the creative team behind the Game of Thrones series. So, yeah, their handling of a lot of shit is not all that great. If you watch Game of Thrones like I do, there's a lot of times where you're watching that show and you're just like, yikes, y'all really fucked that up. And slavery is definitely one of them, as well as rape, as well as just about everything. I think Game of Thrones is a real example of how beautiful storytelling can be problematic as fuck. But back to The Confederate. So that's what they're doing. And they brought on 2 black folks, the Spellmans. You might be familiar with the husband who actually writes for Empire. Brought them on as executive producers. So the Spellmans have since deleted their social media, because you bet your ass when news about The Confederate came out, there was a lot of what are y'all doing? Because the premise of the show basically is an alternate reality where the South won, and slavery is a modern institution in not all of the states, but some of them. So basically the Southern half. And it's supposed to follow abolitionists, journalists, and so on and so forth. But, you know, white people still own niggas. So there we have it. And of course, as always, freedom of speech has come up again and again, and it's just like, well, why can we not support the show? We haven't seen it yet. We don't know anything about it. And it's just the premise alone. For me personally, no. Just, I don't know what other conversations could be had about slavery, about the current situation in America when it comes to Black lives and the treatment of Black people that the show is going to create. To me, it feels like, you know, slavery fanfic. So, and that's just how I personally feel about it. It's been really interesting, though, just the conversations and the people that are for this show and also the people that are vehemently against it. And I'm one of those people. I'm, of all the things to get greenlit, this is the one that gets greenlit. And of course it would, because of the success of Game of Thrones, and these two guys are behind it. And HBO, like any other company, is just thinking the bottom line. Of course. Wouldn't expect any more from them, but that doesn't make it okay. Just yikes. Just all the way around. And of course, black women assembled, like Voltron, and to get the show up out of here. It was led by April Rain with her hashtag that she created called No Confederate. Sunday just passed and it was trending number one. It basically consisted of, you know, people giving other show ideas, history about the Confederacy and so on and so forth. So just, this is never a dull moment. It just isn't. And I don't know what else we need in an alternate history. Like on my commute to work at 7 a.m., I'm still seeing big ass Confederate flags. I'm in North Carolina. So, and I was grew up in Illinois, Chicago. So that wasn't something I saw much at all. But since moving to North Carolina about 5 years ago, I mean, it's almost normal, it is normal to see Confederate flags rolling around. So, I mean, that's still very much this timeline. So I really don't know what we need to, you know, explore. You know, Bree Newsom climbed that pole to take that flag down in South Carolina. So I don't know. It's just why? And this climate and, you know, white supremacy already working the way that it does and people feeling the way that they do with 45 in office is just very careless and reckless to me, but that's just how I feel. But to just make things even more interesting and messy, Amazon actually today release that there's a show that has been in the works before Confederate. So this isn't an age of clapbacks, although this does feel like clapback. However, it's a show that actually was in the works before the Confederate show was even announced. And this is going to be produced by Will Packer and Aaron McGruger, who you might be familiar with from The Boondocks, which is a whole entirely different podcast episode on just how folks feel about The Boondocks and all that jazz. But yeah, this is supposed to be alternate history, one in which African Americans have secured reparations in the form of some of the southern states. So Mississippi, Louisiana, I think, is another one of them. So it's called Black America, New Colonia. So that's something. That's an alternate history that I actually would like to see explored, because I don't know if that's really been explored like that, or at least in I'm pretty sure in writing, yes, but TV show wise, I don't really think that's been explored. So let's talk about that. Let's explore what it's like if African Americans have been able to secure reparations, you know, post-slavery. So we'll see. As you can imagine, the timeline is steadily in shambles and going to get more shambles because of this, because white folks are upset. They don't want to see this, but they would like to see Confederates. Black people that are against this, like black folks that are perfectly fine with Confederate, I don't even know. I just every day I'm just really taken aback by just, I don't know how things go down on the timeline, but that is where we are. So moving on, the Blackish spinoff actually has a name. I don't know what the name was before, but apparently now it's Grownish, which sounds pretty good to me. I don't know what the other names were before, but sound like they were kind of yikes because people are actually pretty cool with this name. Claws, which I've talked about before, and I'm going to continue to talk about, continues to be my favorite summer show. Niecy Nash is killing it, and I'm sorry, but Karrueche is actually doing a really good job on this show, and no shade at all to her, but I'm happy that she's, I didn't know Karrueche. I saw you in that one sci-fi movie, and I was like, yikes, but she is really doing well in the show. And I don't know if that's because Niecy Nash is bringing out the best in her or what, but either way it goes, like, she's really doing well. Insecure is back. We get to follow Issa, Molly, Lawrence, all of them, Tasha. The conversations that have been had with these first two episodes that appear have been very interesting, or hella interesting. There was an article that came out, I think, the other day about how folks were being kind of classist when it came to Tasha, and I can also kind of agree with that. And just, I really, really like Insecure a lot, just because it's a show that is relatable. As hell, you might be able to relate to some of these characters in some way, but their lives are effed up. But I mean, whose life isn't a mess actually right now in this economy? So I'm just happy that Insecure is back. So speaking of just shows on Insecure by Black creatives, Nadima Okorafor, who actually went to my alma mater, University of Illinois Chicago, her novel, Who Fears Death, is actually been picked up by, or has been optioned, or picked up, I should say, by HBO, and just wow. So George R.R. Martin will be behind this, and this is why boycotting HBO as a whole is probably, in my opinion, not the best course of action, because it would hurt shows like Insecure, it would hurt her project that's supposed to be coming out. And Ballers, even if you don't like it, also, that's a show that has a lot of characters, people of color on it. So you can boycott one show. And I mean, you don't have to burn a whole house down. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing how this show plays out when it's in production and when it's finally out. So there's a lot of critical thinking to be had in the last few weeks as far as these shows have been concerned. So that's that. Zazie Beetz as Domino. Those photos were released and she looks amazing. They actually, I'm pleasantly surprised, because I really, really thought they were going to make her albino as she appears in the comics, because we really don't know, is she albino? Is her skin just painted white? What is going on? But they kept her beautiful brown skin. She has an afro. The patch around her eye actually kind of, to me, looks like, it's like Vigilago. So I thought that was pretty cool, ingenious in itself that it appears that way. So yeah, I'm here. That's why I'm seeing Deadpool too, you know. That's why I'm seeing it, to be very honest. Same reason why Tessa Thompson is kind of why I'm seeing Thor Ragnarok. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm just really surprised that they did not go the route of just painting her skin and just, oh, there's a black woman, but can't really see her though because she's painted all white. So I thought that was a really, really nice twist to it. And I'm just here for it. Rob Liefeld, someone who I'm, was just like, you know, he loved it. And of course, he's the creator of Domino, but it's probably the only time I'm going to be like, okay, sir. But yeah, so Domino is brown. Brown skinned girl with afro. So let's go, Deadpool. Justice League Unlimited and Young Justice are no longer on Netflix because DC sucks. Because they had a little streaming service. So I really hope it's like $3.99 or something like that. But if it gets above $5, then I don't, me and my bank account, we don't know. We still have to figure that out. But as of right now, we don't know about that, but I hate it. I actually went ahead and just bought Justice League Unlimited on DVD. Cause honestly, that's something that you should own. The show is just so well done. Dwayne McDuffie's best, and I need to have it at the ready, cause Justice League Unlimited is something that I just watch just to watch, cause I just really love it that much. And I think that's it, y'all. Star Trek Discovery. I think it was Entertainment Weekly. They were on the cover of that. I'm ready for that show. That is actually something that I will be ponying up for, because I do want to support it. So, DC. But But I guess I just really wish that that show, if Star Trek Discovery, they would have put that on just regular CBS, because I mean, hell, they could use it. The Caucasian Broadcasting Network, they could really use that. So they didn't do that. So I'll give them a couple of my coins for a little bit to support that show and watch it, and we'll see. And I think that's it, y'all. Like I said, this is the last episode you're going to hear from me for a little while, not that long, but just a little bit. Like I said, taking that small podcasting break to just kind of retool, think about some things I have been writing, which has been really, really interesting. So hopefully I'll have some, move up, and hopefully I'll have make some headway in that. Patreon will still be up. I'll actually, while I'm on this break, be producing some more Patreon content. So be on the lookout for that if you are a patron, or if you're not a patron, think about becoming a patron of the Lemonade Podcast. Yeah. I will catch you all very soon. Please be well. You can still find me on Twitter on the Lemonade Podcast page, as well as my own personal page as Steph_I_Will. And I promise, I will be back. So I guess this is it for season 2 of the Lemonade Podcast. Huh. Go figure. It's been a full year of podcasting, which has been, it's been phenomenal. It really honestly has. And I just want to thank you all so much for your support. So in the meantime, please be well, be good to each other, and, mute this conversation. It is your friend. Block is your friend, and so is mute. So I'll catch you guys later. Peace out.